It's not about you feeling better about yourself. It's about you understanding what God says about you and standing in the firm belief that what God says about you is true. There's a big difference.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, and in just a moment, you're going to hear the teaching of Pastor Mark Job as he takes us through the book of James, chapter 3. We're in a series called Faith That Works. This is the second half of a message called Where Does It Come From? And he's talking about where does the wisdom that you're basing your life on, where does it come from? There's a lot of people who think they're so smart and so wise, and they've gained some kind of significance or notoriety, or they've achieved something, and yet you don't know where their wisdom came from and what it cost them. And today, James is going to be talking to us about how important it is to know where your wisdom has come from. There's two sources. It's either coming from God, from heaven, or it's coming from below. And when you base your life on the wisdom that comes from God, you live a faith that works. You live a different life. And you have the results of a life that God has designed and desired for you. Today, you may be seeking to make some important decisions. Or maybe you're in the middle of living the way you've lived for the last 10 years. And the Spirit of God is going to speak to you through the Word of God and put His finger on something. And it's not to discourage you. It's not to pull you down. It's not to hold you back. It's to set you free to live the destiny God has for you. So my encouragement to you is open your heart, soften your heart, and listen, because the Spirit of God wants to lead you. This radio program is not an accident. It's not the invention of man. It came to you at this moment for your good and God's glory. This message is called, Where Does It Come From? James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Let's go there now.
There are two hard issues that keep you from wisdom. And he describes the fact that there are two hard issues that keep you from wisdom. If you have envy, literally translated in the Greek, the word is zeal. Zeal for gaining possession. Zeal that is your zeal that competes with other people. If you have envy or selfish ambition, this is the idea of I'm striving against other people. So if you have zeal and strife or envy and selfish ambition, it'll always create a culture of disorder and waste around you. And that's exactly what James says, that if in your heart you have these things, it'll battle against wisdom, and he says such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. How many of you know that some of the things that we think are wise counsel that comes from out there isn't really wise counsel from God? There's a lot of people that have advice. There's a lot of self-help books out there. There's a lot of people that want to give you their wisdom. But you have to ask yourself this question, where is that wisdom coming from? Because not all wisdom, not all so-called wisdom is from God. There are certain so-called wisdom that are straight from the pit of hell, that are carnal, unspiritual, and many believers sometimes buy into those ways of thinking that it's in the Bible because they haven't checked what's the source of this wisdom. You see, it's important to ask yourself this question. Where does it come from? Just like my brother's gum came from a nasty place, sometimes the thoughts that have shaped your life come from a nasty place. One of the first things that I look to when I get a letter, go to the mailbox, open it up. I don't know about you, but when I get a letter, the first thing I look at is, where did it come from? If it's a letter that came from my mother, she still writes letters and cards, by the way, then I know it's going to be a card, and if it's a birthday, there's going to be money inside. She still sends money. If I look at a letter, and up in the corner it says IRS, I don't even want to open it. Now, recently, someone told me that they were leading a camp with high schoolers, and they ask them to write a letter, put it in an envelope, and address it to themselves. And the camp counselor said most of the kids did not know how to put their address on the center of the envelope and write a return address because they don't write letters. They do it. It's all via electronics. But if you've been around for a while and you get mail, the first place that you look is, where did this come from? There's a little place up in the box there that tells us who the sender is. And so you need to ask yourself, when you get pieces of wisdom, when instruction comes your way, when thoughts come your way, when you hear something that sounds pretty well, you need to ask yourself this question: where is that coming from? Because you could be getting something that's going to damage your life because you haven't checked what is the source, where did it come from? And so it is with the Bible. In fact, James is saying that some so-called wisdom that sounds like it's good, that sounds like it helps our life, can actually lead you down a bad rabbit hole into destruction. He says some wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Earthly means it follows the world system and not God's system. How many of you know there's a difference between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom? Some wisdom that you get sounds good in the world, but it's contrary to God. The world says, step up and get ahead of everybody. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Jesus said, you want to learn to be great, learn to be a servant of all. That doesn't sound like it meshes well together. And secondly, he says, not only is some of the wisdom earthly, but it's unspiritual. The word literally is the word sensual. In other words, it appeals to our carnal appetites. There's some wisdom out there that just appeals to your carnal appetite. You say, yeah, it's really not of God, though. It appeals to you, though, because your carnal appetite says, I like that. Do whatever feels good. Oh, I like that. Where's that in the Bible? Well, it's not in the Bible. I've had people come to me and say, well, if it feels good, I just don't understand how it could be bad if it feels so right. Well, that appeals to your carnal appetite. If it feels so good, it must be good, right? Well, no, that's not wisdom from God. And then he actually uses the word that kind of shocks us a little bit. He uses the word demonic. At the heart of this demonic is the robbing of God's glory, the doxa, the glory of God. There are some wisdom that comes straight from the underground, straight from a demonic source that seems like it's good, that seems like it makes sense, but really it's a demonic ploy to get you off track with God and to lead you down a path of making wrong decisions in your life, even though it sounds good to your carnal nature. I was thinking about this a little bit, and this is what the Bible says, that where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. When you start buying into wisdom that's not of God, you will find your life in chaos and disorder. If you get out of God's plan, there'll be a disorder in your family, disorder in your marriage, disorder with your children, disorder with your finances, disorder in your relationships. There will be chaos around you because you're not living according to the wisdom of God. You bought into a wisdom that's not of God and is starting to create disorder in your life because you have thinking that's not of God. Oh man, I'm getting something out of this. I don't know if anybody else is, but now I'm preaching to myself here. This is good. You say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Oh, you want me to give you some illustrations? Glad you ask. I started thinking about some of the things that believers buy into and some of the things that I've even heard around this church, well-meaning, but really that has nothing to do with the Bible. The source is not God's wisdom. The source is earthly wisdom and even demonic, and some of it is totally contrary to what God says. Some of this is pop psychology versus God's wisdom. A fellow by the name of Kirby Anderson identifies several pop psychology ideas that most people have accepted but aren't biblical. For example, and want me to give you a couple of them? They sound innocent, but really they can be extremely damaging. For example, the pop psychology that says human beings are basically all good. At our heart, we're all good, really, anyways. Well, that makes us feel good. It makes us sound good. But that's absolutely untrue theologically and biblically. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that at our root, we are all very, very broken, and we have all sinned, and we are sinners, so we're not basically good, we're basically bad. That there is an evil part of us, a broken part of us, that has a proclivity to do what's wrong and not do what's right. Yeah, we're made in the image of God, but we're fallen human beings. Romans tells us we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jeremiah tells us the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick or desperately wicked. No, we are not all basically good, because if you buy into the fact that we're all basically good, then you and I don't need a savior. We're all basically bad, and we really need a savior that can change us, transform us, renew us, wash us, cleanse us, and make us whole. Here's another one. We need more self-esteem and self-worth. Oh man, that sounds good. Yeah. I need to build myself up more. That comes out of popular basic psychology, nowhere to be found in Scripture, by the way. In fact, self-esteem or self-worth, birthed in more recent psychology, not even spoken about over 100 years ago, Freudianism, this popular belief that we need to build our self-esteem up. And here's what I would say. The Bible never talks about you needing to have a better esteem of yourself. The Bible talks about you understanding how God sees you and understanding the truth that God says you're his son or daughter, washed and forgiven. It's not about you feeling better about yourself. It's about you understanding what God says about you and standing in the firm belief that what God says about you is true. There's a big difference.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, Where Does It Come From? Which is from Pastor Mark's series called James, Faith That Works. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of James, and our message tonight is called, Where Does It Come From?
You could stand in front of the mirror and say, I'm good, I'm strong, I have power. But instead, you need to say, God in me is good. God has made me strong. God is my source. God is my wisdom. You see, you're strengthening yourself in God. Here's another one. Listen to this. Oh, this is a big one. You can't love others until you love yourself. You probably said that. Well, Pastor, what I realize is I need to love myself more. I've heard people, listen, if you said it in a testimony, I understand. Well, I just need to love myself more. It sounds good that we have a lack of self-love, but I'm going to tell you something. Look in the Bible and try to find that. In fact, let me shock you here. The Bible actually says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, speaking about the end times, that people will go from bad to worse. It says they'll be lovers of money, boaster, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, and lovers of themselves. This is not promoted as, yeah, you need to love yourself more. This is promoted as something straight from the pit. The Bible basically says part of the root of our problem is that we love ourselves more than we love God, that we put ourselves more than anybody else, that we cater to ourselves more than anybody else. Listen, here's what the Bible says. Love God above all other things, and as you're loving God, you will understand that God loves you, and you will stand firm and understand the love of God. It never says love yourselves more. He says love God more, and as you love God more, you'll have a healthy understanding of who you are in God. Pastor, I'm just going to divorce my husband because I'm loving myself more. And I realized that living with my husband is not loving myself more. And so I finally put the foot down and I'm going to divorce him because I've just decided I'm going to love myself more. Really? Because if you decided to love God more, you'd love his word more and understand that obedience to his word is more important than how you feel. See, making yourself the center of the universe is humanism. It's making yourself an idol before God. It's popular psychology that many believers have bought into that's straight not from heaven, but from below. Here's another one. All guilt is bad. Oh, no, not all guilt is bad. Sometimes we need to be guilty for what we've done to lead us to repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says this. I don't have time to get into all of these, but here's another one that people quote. Well, doesn't God say God helps those who help themselves? No, I've never read it in the Bible. It's not a verse. Stop saying the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. The Bible doesn't say that. But God wants me to be happy. I've heard that a lot. Well, doesn't the Bible say that he wants me to be happy? Nope. Doesn't say that. Happiness is a byproduct of following God. Your happiness is not the pursuit that you should be seeking after. The goal of your life for most Americans is, what's your goal? I just want to be happy. Bad pursuit. Because the pursuit of your happiness means that you'll trample on anybody, step on anybody, violate your principles in order to pursue your happiness. People that pursue their own happiness end up very unhappy. You should be pursuing God and loving God and serving God. And the byproduct is that you'll experience happiness. Don't make your happiness the center of your world. Make serving God the center of your world. I'm talking about wisdom that comes from heaven and wisdom that comes from below. Here's another one. We're all children of God. No, we're not. We're all creations of God, but only those that are born again of God are considered children of God. Here's another one. We all worship the same God. No, we don't. When the end, Pastor, we all just, let's just sing kumbaya and kind of wave together. Because after all, don't we all worship the same God? I mean, they call it a tree. I call it Jehovah. They call it this. I call it someone else. But isn't it all the same God? No, it's not the same God. My God's not a tree. My God's not a totem pole. Listen, my God's name is not Allah or Buddha. The definition of God is absolutely, completely distinct. Not everybody worships the same God. They're very distinct gods. And if you, that's called universalism. That's called pluralism. That's called embracing gods that aren't the true God. There is one God given in Scripture. Jesus said there is only one way to God, and he's the mediator to that God. We don't all worship the same God. We're not all right. We're not all, here's another one. Well, in the end, we all end up in the same place. No, we don't. We don't all end up in the same place, because if we all ended up in the same place, you wouldn't have to really believe anything. You could believe whatever, live however, and end up in the same place. No, we don't. That's not wisdom from God. Here's another one. It's not a big one, but when you die, God gains another angel. No, he doesn't. I know you like to talk about your mother like a little angel that you gain, but no, she's not an angel. No, no. The angels are angels and people are people. You don't gain another angel, period. Next time you hear it at a funeral, well, heaven gained another angel. No, you don't turn into an angel. Let's get that clear. You're a person. You'll always be a person. You don't grow wings. You don't turn into an angel. Angels are separate than people. Let's just get that straight. You're not going to be flying around with wings. You're not a seraphim. You're not a cherubim. You're a person, and the Bible's clear about that. Man, oh, I got that out of my system. I feel better now. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to destruction. I'm simply saying, folks, check where it comes from. Don't be quoting things that aren't from Scripture. Don't be encouraging principles that are not in the Bible. Don't give counsel that makes no sense from the Word of God. Ask yourself, where does this come from? And if it doesn't come from Scripture, chances are you're leading someone down an erroneous path that may sound good, but ultimately brings great spiritual damage to our life. And lastly, and I'm running out of time here, evaluate the harvest that you're reaping. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven. So there's a wisdom that comes from heaven, and there's a wisdom that comes from the earth. We live in a biblically illiterate society. Generations before us studied Scripture, memorized Scripture, knew the Bible. The great majority of the 17-year-olds today don't know the Bible at all, besides basic stories. We have a generation devoid of Bible knowledge, smarter than ever before because they can Google anything really fast, but they don't know Scripture. Their minds are being shaped by popular society. They're being told that all gods are the same. They're being told that all paths are equal. They're being told that there is no way, that if you claim that there's only one way, that you're bigoted, biased, and outdated. They've been told that what the Bible calls sin is really just sometimes personal choices, addictions, but there is no sin in life. We are being divested. We are being brainwashed by popular psychology into believing a Christianity and a biblical a point of view that's really not in the Bible. And we need to get back to the root and ask ourselves, is it in Scripture? Where does this come from? Is it coming from God or is it coming from below? This is huge. This will be the greatest battle with your children. Instilling a biblical view in them. If they go to a public school like mine do, they'll be taught in school evolution without a creator and intelligent design as a fact, as science. And that if you buy into the idea of an intelligent design, then you're sort of outdated or dumb or buying into myths. And we need to make sure that we come back to Scripture, understand what the Bible really teaches, and not confuse pop psychology with Scripture. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. This is the kind of wisdom that comes from God. The kind of wisdom that comes from God actually affects our relationships and our character. When you start sowing the wisdom that comes from God, you'll start reaping a harvest in your life that's godly. Notice what it says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What is righteousness? Integrity, virtue, purity of life, righteous, correct thinking, feeling, and acting. Listen, when you start operating in wisdom, you start reaping a harvest in your life of all these things, a harvest that shows that you're operating in wisdom. Listen to me, some of you need to start sowing it in your family, into your dating, into your marriage, into your workplace, because right now some of you are living chaotic lives in part because you haven't chosen where your wisdom came from. You bought into lies that are not of God. You've been sloppy about checking the sources of where that wisdom came from. You quote pop psychology answers without going to Scripture and saying, what does the Bible say? And is this wisdom from God or from man? So look at your life and decisions to understand if you're in a mess, how you got in the mess you're in. When you look, ask this question, how's my track record that I'm leaving? How's the culture that I'm creating? And what's the harvest that I'm reaping? Because it's telling you whether your wisdom that you're operating right now is from God or not from God.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called James, Faith That Works. And tonight was the second half of his message called Where Does It Come From? Join us again on Monday for part 4, Grace Magnets. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again on Monday for Part 4, The Grace Magnet. Have a great weekend, and God bless.